Okay, so you know that feeling, that kind of that moment when you're facing something big, maybe a challenge, a life decision, or just everything feels overwhelming and you can't quite see clearly. Like you can't put your finger on what the actual problem is. You don't know what you even, want anymore, and there's just no clear path forward. You're just stuck.
Oh yeah. That heavy, almost paralyzing feeling, it's so relatable, isn't it?
Totally.
Because it hits on something really fundamental, I think. Feeling blocked, like
Oh.
you can't even apply effort effectively because you just don't understand the situation or where to even point yourself. The
Yeah.
struggle isn't just out there, it's inside too, the confusion.
Absolutely. And that feeling is exactly what we're diving into today. We've got this stack of sources you brought, including a really personal, honest account from someone on Facebook, just raw struggle. And then excerpts from this toolkit, the Clarity Lab method, which sounds like it's designed exactly for this kind of thing, helping people find clarity in complexity.
That's the plan. Our mission today is basically to look at this toolkit, these practical approaches, and see how they might actually offer a way forward for someone in that painful, stuck place, like that Facebook user.
Or, I mean, any of us really, when we hit those walls.
Exactly. So we're going to unpack the problem itself, look at why some of the usual ways we think about tackling problems might actually, well, make us feel more stuck sometimes.
Oh, hey.
And then we'll dive into the specific tools from the Clarity Lab that offer maybe a different way of seeing things, a different approach.
Great. So we'll guide you through this, pull out the key ideas, and try to connect the dots, right, between that raw feeling and these, well, practical tools.
Let's do it. Okay, so starting with that raw reality, using that Facebook user's story as sort of our anchor point. It's a pretty stark picture, really hitting rock bottom.
It really is. So this is someone 27 years old, unemployed, can't find a job in their field, which is information systems. And on top of that, married, two young kids, and their wife is apparently thinking about divorce. She thinks he's being lazy.
Wow, that's intense pressure.
Yeah. And maybe the most immediate thing, they're living with parents who plan to have them move out in like 6 months.
So it's this layered crisis, isn't it? Professional life feels like a failure, huge marital strain, and then this looming housing insecurity all hitting at once.
And the background they describe makes it even tougher. They talk about focusing hard in college, not partying, hitting the library, getting a really high GPA like 3.78. And they mentioned feeling like they were spoon-fed this idea that a high GPA just means easy hiring. And now they see that as, well, their word, BS.
Oof. Yeah, that dissonance between expectation and reality can be brutal, especially when you felt you did everything right.
Totally. They even tried an MBA, maybe hoping that was the key, but then dropped out.
And they talk about feeling so stupid for falling for, quote, the same trap twice, getting into more debt. But there's this interesting bit.
What's that?
They also say they felt happy and proud for dropping out, which is, well, it's a flicker, isn't it?
Yeah, like a small moment of clarity or self-direction in the middle of all the despair.
Exactly. A hint that maybe deep down they can recognize what's right for them, even if everything else feels wrong.
But that flicker is kind of overshadowed by the rest. Graduated in 2021, applying constantly since then, and now just severely burnt out, feels numb.
And that grim outlook, looking forward to a career in flipping burgers, that just says so much about the level of resignation.
It really does, seeing no other path. And then that final line, just life has been wasted, thanks.
Wow, just brutal honesty.
Yeah. But then there's an update. Later, they edited the post. They thanked people for comments, said they'd gained a better perspective, and actually felt hope now.
Okay, that's really interesting. That edit is huge. It shows that even just voicing the struggle, putting it out there, getting some outside input, other perspectives, it can start to crack things open, can it?
Yeah, it suggests the paralysis isn't permanent.
The feeling of being stuck is incredibly real and painful, but that potential to shift perspective, to find hope again, that's real too. This user's whole story is just such a vivid, painful example of being unable to, see the problem clearly, know what you want, or find a path forward.
So let's try and connect that feeling, that whole situation, to the second source. Because it talks about why sometimes the common ways we approach problems, the frameworks we use, might actually feed into this feeling of being stuck, especially when the path you thought was the path, like our user's GPA to job path, just disappears.
Exactly. This source points out something pretty fundamental. A lot of the standard methods, the established ways of doing things, they kind of assume you already know your destination.
You know where you're going.
Right. Yep. So their whole focus is on how to get there more efficiently. They don't really encourage you to stop and ask, wait, is this actually the right destination for me? Or even, what is the actual problem I'm trying to solve here?
And the source has a name for this, the destination trap.
Yeah, the destination trap. Think about things like the double diamond in design, or agile, or stage gate processes, even OKRs for setting goals. They often start by defining an outcome, right? A desired state, a solution you're aiming for.
Okay.
And the key insight here is, well, that's fine if the problem is well-defined and the goal is clear. But when you're facing something really complex or unknown, starting with a fixed destination, actually, narrows our perception.
How so?
Well, it creates these artificial constraints. It kind of discourages you from asking those really fundamental questions about the goal itself. And it ends up valuing certainty, or pretending to be certain, over genuine curiosity. You get rewarded for having the answer, even if you're actually completely lost.
That maps so perfectly onto our user's experience, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That whole high GPA equals easy job thing was his predefined destination.
Exactly.
And when that path just evaporated, he didn't have the tools, or maybe even the permission, to question the premise. He was optimized for that route, and when it turned out to be a dead end, he had no way to explore alternatives.
Right. The answer is, sometimes the issue isn't that you're bad at following the map, it's that you were given the wrong map altogether.
Makes sense.
And then there's the other related idea the source brings up, the system-first fallacy.
System-first fallacy.
Yeah. It's the idea that many approaches tend to see people, individuals, as basically cogs in a machine. Components within a larger system, like a company or the job market or a process.
Okay, so the focus is more on the process itself, optimizing the system.
Right. And the power, the agency, it kind of sits at the system level, not with the individual. It's less about empowering individual judgment and more about following the defined steps.
And you can see how that feeds into the burnout our user described. Applying endlessly, feeling like just another number, another resume in this huge impersonal job market system.
Totally.
Where his individual effort, his GPA, isn't getting the expected result. It's incredibly disempowering.
Exactly. The insight there is, when you feel like you're just an interchangeable part in a machine that seems broken, it's so easy to feel like you have zero control, no agency, which is like a core part of feeling stuck.
Yeah. The source mentioned something about a manipulation economy too, but these first two, the destination trap and the system first fallacy, they seem super relevant to that personal internal struggle our user is going through.
I agree. They really highlight why we might need a different kind of approach, one that isn't locked into a predefined destination from the start.
One that values. But what did the source say? Self-thinking.
Yeah, self-thinking, personal insight, and one that deliberately creates space for emergence and discovery, you know, figuring things out before you commit to a specific path.
And that's where the Clarity Lab method comes in.
That's exactly the space it aims to fill.
Okay, so if those traditional ways can sometimes leave us high and dry when the map fails, how does this Clarity Lab toolkit offer something different? The source says these are practical tools for real-world decision-making, even for personal stuff like careers and life planning.
Right. They're not just abstract ideas. They're designed to give you concrete steps, actual things you can do to tackle those core issues we saw with the user. Really seeing the problem, figuring out what actually matters to you now, and identifying potential ways forward when the old path is gone.
Okay, so where do we start? What's in the toolkit?
Well, the first tool they highlight is problem space mapping.
Problem space mapping. What's the main idea?
Basically, it's about resisting that powerful urge to jump straight to solutions. Instead, you intentionally slow down to identify, visualize, and break down the root causes of whatever challenge you're facing.
So not just looking at the symptoms.
Exactly. The core insight, I think, with mapping is realizing that what feels like one huge, overwhelming problem, or maybe a bunch of separate problems that feel unrelated, is actually often a complex, interconnected system.
A system of symptoms, causes, influences.
Yeah, all tangled together.
Okay, so how do you actually do it? How does it work in practice?
You'd start with the core challenge for our user. Maybe we'd call it something like multifaceted life crisis, or feeling stuck and unemployed right in the center.
Okay.
Then around that, you start mapping the obvious symptoms, the burnout, the tension with his wife, the money stress, the pressure from his parents about moving out.
Got it.
Then the key step is, for each of those symptoms, you keep asking why. like relentlessly. Why is there no job? Is it really skills? Is it the market? Is the burnout killing his motivation to even apply effectively? Why the marital tension? Is it just money or is it the stress? A breakdown in communication, maybe fundamentally different expectations or values surfacing. You draw lines, show the connections.
And you'd also add in those external factors, right? Like the state of the job market, his parents' expectations, maybe even past experiences, shaping how he's reacting now.
Absolutely. And the internal factors too, his own beliefs about success, his fears, maybe values he hasn't acknowledged.
So things like that high GPA, easy job belief, would go on the map as an internal influence.
For sure. The source also mentions you can layer in actor wrapping, identifying the key people involved, like his wife, parents, maybe potential employers or recruiters, and mapping their influence and how they relate to each other within this whole web.
So for our user, instead of just drowning in that feeling of life wasted, which is really more of an emotional reaction to conclusion, mapping could help him actually see the individual threads in that tangled mess. He could visualize how, say, the job hunt stress impacts the finances, which then fuels the arguments with his wife, which adds more stress, which makes the burnout worse, which then makes the job search even harder.
Exactly. It creates this visual loop. The insight isn't just listing out all the bad stuff. It's seeing the patterns, the feedback loops, the connections he might be totally missing because he's just too overwhelmed right now. It helps define what the real complex problem actually is, which is, you know, the essential first step away from feeling numb and towards getting some clarity.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Getting a better handle on the actual problem space. What comes next in the toolkit?
Well, once you have a clearer picture of the problem, you might use something like the Clarity Checklist.
A checklist? Sounds like it's for making decisions.
It is, yeah, but specifically for hitting pause on those reactive patterns we fall into, especially when we're stressed or overwhelmed. The whole point is to make sure decisions come from a place of intention and alignment, not just sheer reactivity.
Okay.
The insight here, I think, is recognizing that we're often operating based on hidden assumptions or external pressures without even realizing it. This checklist forces you to intentionally pause and question those things, which gives you back some agency.
So, like, before making a really big decision, maybe giving up completely, like you mentioned, or jumping into some drastic, maybe ill-thought-out plan, you'd run through these questions.
Exactly. And looking at the list in the source, several questions seem incredibly relevant for our user. For example, have I defined the real problem I am trying to solve? Is this addressing root causes or just symptoms?
So that pushes back against that wasted life feeling being the problem. It forces him to look deeper, which the mapping already helped him start doing.
Right. And then there's, what assumptions am I making that might be influencing my perception? This is huge for someone whose core assumption, high GPA, leads to a job just crumbled.
Yeah, it helps dig out those ingrained beliefs or maybe things he's just taking for granted now, like assuming flipping burgers is the only possible future.
Exactly. Or this one, have I considered this challenge from different viewpoints? For him, trying to genuinely understand his wife's perspective or his parents or even how a potential employer sees his situation, that could be really eye-opening. It might change his whole approach.
Mm-hmm. And what about influences?
Yeah. Have I identified who or what is influencing my decision? Am I responding to external pressure rather than clear understanding? This hits directly on the pressure from his parents about moving out or maybe broader societal pressures about career paths. It helps him separate those external forces from what he actually needs or values.
Okay, that's powerful.
And crucially, have I considered multiple possible futures instead of defaulting to a single outcome? This directly challenges that flipping burgers fatalism. It forces you to actually brainstorm other possibilities, even if they seem distant right now.
And the last one you mentioned related to values.
Yeah. Is this decision aligned with broader values and priorities? Like, what does he actually value deep down beyond that specific career path that didn't work out? What really matters for his family, his own well-being, his sense of purpose? The checklist helps bring those deeper, often ignored considerations back into the picture before a decision is made.
The source mentioned an example, didn't it? Someone using the checklist for a career decision.
It did. Someone frustrated with their job used the checklist and realized the issue wasn't just needing a different job, but that their current work was fundamentally misaligned with their core values.
Right.
That shifted their whole focus from just reactively applying elsewhere to exploring what kind of work environment or role would actually be fulfilling for them. It's a really strong parallel for our user, I think.
Definitely. Okay, so mapping helps understand the mess. The checklist helps make sure you're not just reacting based on bad assumptions. But what about actually seeing potential ways forward when you feel like there are none? That flipping burgers feeling is strong.
Right. That's where the next tool, future prototyping, comes into play.
Future prototyping. It sounds interesting. How does that work?
Well, the idea is to actively explore different possible futures in your mind before you commit to a decision or a major change. It's designed specifically to combat that feeling of being trapped, of seeing only one usually bleak outcome ahead. The core insight is that the future isn't this fixed thing you're hurtling towards. It's more like a space of possibilities that you can actively explore, imagine, and even influence through your choices now.
So how do you actually prototype a future? You can't build it like a product?
No, it's more of a thought exercise. Often you do it by outlining distinct scenarios. You imagine a fork in the road based on a potential decision or approach. For our user, that fork might be something like option A, give up default to survival mode, versus option B, actively explore new paths, try to rebuild.
Okay, and then you imagine different outcomes for each.
Exactly. You could sketch out, say, a best case, a worst case, and maybe a most likely case scenario stemming from each of those different approaches.
So the worst case for give up might look a lot like his current fear, right? Divorce happens, he's homeless after 6 months, gets stuck in that low-wage job, maybe the burnout deepens, things just deteriorate.
Right. But then, the best case for explore new paths might involve finding an unexpected new direction, maybe retraining, starting something small, finding meaning in a totally different kind of work, which eventually leads to better relationships, more stability.
And the most likely case is probably somewhere in between.
Probably. For the explore path, maybe it involves some really tough steps, like going back to school or taking a lower paying job for a while to get a foot in a new door, needing intense work on communication with his wife. Hard work, basically.
And for each of these imagined scenarios, you'd try to flesh them out. Think about the details.
Yeah, exactly. What key things might happen? How would the people around him, wife, kids, parents, be affected? What resources would he need? Money, time, skills, emotional support? And crucially, what would it feel like to be in that scenario?
So the real power here isn't about predicting the future perfectly.
Not at all.
It's about making that single, bleak, flippin' burgers future feel less like destiny and more like just one possibility among others. An undesirable one, maybe, but one that can potentially be avoided or changed.
Precisely. It helps them see that other outcomes, other paths, are conceivable, even if they require effort or seem daunting right now. That alone can be huge for breaking through numbness and actually seeing potential ways forward.
Got it. Okay, mapping, checklist, prototyping. What's the last tool you mentioned?
The last one we'll cover today is the Influence Blueprint.
Influence Blueprint. Sounds like it helps you figure out what's pushing and pulling you.
That's exactly it. The purpose is to systematically map out all the different forces, internal and external, that are shaping your decision or your current situation. It's about bringing those often hidden or just vaguely felt influences out into the open.
And the insight there is?
The insight is recognizing that you're always operating within this complex field of forces, you know, people, systems, your own moods and beliefs. Making these forces visible helps you understand where you actually have some agency, where you might be able to exert influence, and where you're facing genuine constraints you just have to work around.
So how does it work? You identify who or what is influencing things.
Yeah. You list out the stakeholders and forces. That could be specific people, like his wife or parents. It could be organizations or systems, like the university system he felt trapped by, or the job market itself. And importantly, it includes internal factors, too, like his burnout, his fears, his values, that old belief system.
Okay. And then for each one?
For each one, you try to assess a few things. What's the direction of their influence? Are they pushing him towards a certain outcome or away from another? How strong is that influence? What's its nature? Is it supportive, demanding, critical, indifferent? And maybe, how visible or hidden is it? Then you might categorize them, things you have direct control over, things you can only influence indirectly, and things that are just external constraints.
So applying this to our user, he could map his wife's influence. What direction is it pushing? How strong? His parents' influence, clear pressure, financial leverage, the job market, big external constraint, right? That past belief about GPAs, a powerful internal influence, maybe fading now. And his burnout, a massive internal factor limiting action.
Exactly. And mapping it visually might reveal conflicts he feels but hasn't articulated, like the parental pressure demanding immediate action versus his own burnout, making any action feel almost impossible.
And seeing that laid out.
Seeing that landscape of forces clearly can be really illuminating. It helps him understand why he feels pulled in so many directions at once. It pinpoints the pressure points. And crucially, it might help him spot areas where he actually has more agency or indirect influence than he currently realizes. It can shift the feeling from being totally trapped in a cage to understanding the complex forces he needs to navigate.
These tools, they really do sound practical. Structured ways to approach things when you feel completely lost and overwhelmed, like our user did. It's definitely more than just telling someone to think positive or just try harder.
Absolutely. And the source makes a point that these aren't just like isolated tricks. They're part of an integrated toolkit. And maybe more importantly, the journey to clarity isn't presented as this one-time event or some perfect state you finally achieve. It's framed as an ongoing practice.
Yeah, the tips for using them sounded very practical too. Making the maps visual, keeping the checklist somewhere accessible, really leaning into the tension between different futures when prototyping, trying to be comprehensive and neutral when mapping influences.
Mm-hmm. And it mentions supporting habits too, like regular reflection, staying curious, getting more comfortable with uncertainty, being willing to update your understanding as you learn more, and balancing all this exploration with actually taking small steps, taking action.
Which brings us back really nicely to that edit on the Facebook post, doesn't it?
It really does.
That shift from wasted life to feeling hope and having a better perspective, just from sharing and getting comments. In a way, that was like an intuitive first step towards clarity, wasn't it? He sort of accidentally accessed multiple perspectives, like the checklist suggests, or involved others in understanding his problem space.
Exactly. It shows that even a small opening, a small shift, can begin the process.
And applying these more structured tools could then help deepen that shift, right? Mm-hmm. Sustain it. Give him a framework to keep navigating the complexity he's still facing. The goal isn't some magic fix overnight.
No, the goal is progress, as the source says. Mm-hmm. Building that capability step by step to navigate uncertainty.
Okay. So we've done a pretty deep dive today into that really tough feeling of being stuck. We looked at how some common ways of thinking, those destination-focused frameworks, can sometimes trap us further. The insight being you really need to understand the problem before chasing a solution.
Mm.
And we explore these practical tools from the Clarity Lab method, problem space mapping, to see the connections, the Clarity checklist to pause and question our assumptions, future prototyping to imagine possibilities beyond the default, and the influence blueprint to understand the forces acting on us.
Yeah, and they're presented not as rigid rules, but as these flexible approaches. Ways to bring more intentionality, more understanding, more agency into those really complex personal challenges. They really feel like they could offer a lifeline for someone feeling as lost as our Facebook user described.
Definitely. For him, or, you know, for you listening, if you're feeling that weight of being overwhelmed, unsure,
mm-hmm.
these tools seem to offer a structured way to move beyond just feeling numb or seeing only that one bleak future.
They give you practical steps, steps to clarify what the real problem might be underneath it all, to see that there are multiple possible futures, and to identify potential paths forward in a way that feels maybe a little more empowering and less paralyzing.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. Consider a challenge you're facing right now. Could be big, could be small. How might intentionally trying out just one of these tools we talked about, maybe just spending 15 minutes sketching out a problem map, or asking yourself just one or two questions from that clarity checklist before you make your next move. How might that shift your perspective, even slightly?
Yeah. What could shifting from that feeling of being stuck towards consciously exploring with intention, what could that look like for you starting today?